Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey guys, welcome back to the Brown Bowl Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. It is my favorite time of year when all of the holiday, you know, season is upon us and we have Thanksgiving in front of us and we have Christmas, in my case, in front of us. You might be celebrating Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or whatever it is you celebrate this time of year, or nothing. And that's still fair because you can still make all the delicious goodies that we're going to be talking about and sharing at Brown Bowl in the coming weeks. So it's all about the holidays. And today is we're having an episode that I promised last week when I shared all of the adventures we went to, all of the activities and food we had on our trip to London. That was our two previous episodes. And I mentioned that we had gone to a couple of dinners with lots of non-vegans. And I thought it was the perfect moment right before the holidays in which you're going to be sharing time with family and friends to kind of, you know, talk about those conversations that happen at the table. I think it's going to be fun, and that's what today's episode is all about. But before we get started, I wanted to mention a couple of things. The first thing is really great, and it's the fact that we have released our Thanksgiving collection, and a collection of recipes, that is. So if you go to brownbowl.com, you're going to see a little yellow or orange bar at the top, and you can click on that, and it's going to take you right to our collection, which we post and we update every year with the new videos and recipes that we have. And this is a little collection of recipes that includes recipes that are both free for everybody in our YouTube channel and at brownbowl.com. And it also includes, of course, all of our online program recipes. Those are exclusive for our online members, for our online program members. So if you're a member, you're going to have all of those in that section too, which means you can simply click and it's going to take you to your login for the online program. So what does that mean? That means that if you're not a member yet, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to mention it in a second. But if you click on a link and it takes you somewhere where you have to put your email and password and you're not a member, you're not going to be able to see those recipes because those are exclusive for our members. But you've got many that are in our blog. So you can, you know, indulge in those and test those out and maybe include them in your holiday feast. So I know lots of you are planning your Thanksgiving menus and maybe not your Christmas menus just yet. That's a little further down the line. But if you're celebrating Thanksgiving, then you've got lots of options there. At brownbowl.com, you know, in our free recipes, we have one that I absolutely love, and it's our chestnut and lentil loaf. That's a really delicious one. And we've got many others. And if you're a member of our online program, oh my goodness, the sky is the limit. We had to include so many new ones in that recipe collection this year. You can go check those out. And of course, new videos are coming, guys, everywhere. New videos are coming within the next few weeks if you want to include those for your holiday feasts. So I had to mention that that has gone live. You can go to bramble.com and click the little bar and it'll take you right over. And then there you're going to see pictures and the links to take you to the specific videos or posts, or in the case of our member exclusive content, it's going to take you to your dashboard. Well, not your dashboard. It's going to take you right to the recipe. So that's really practical. That's why we did it in this way. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about our online program, My Brown Bowl. And this is an ongoing program, and that means that new videos are added every single week. And it's a cooking program, which means I teach you how to cook the most delicious and scrumptious recipes. We've got tons of things for the holiday season. And And as I mentioned, new videos come every week. And what we do is, you know, I teach you all of the yummy treats that we love, all of the delicious meals we love, quick and easy meals too, all in their vegan versions. And if you're vegan and you want to add variety to your meals, you want to learn lots of new tricks in the kitchen, or if you're kind of, you know, just wetting, getting your toes a little bit wet in those vegan waters, you want to make more vegan recipes, even if you're not fully vegan, this works too. You've got so much stuff, guys. We have so many videos. It's all in video format, which is really cool. And new stuff comes up all the time. We also have different sections in the program, which include how to get organized, how to organize your kitchen, your fridge, your pantry, how to get organized with meal planning and meal prepping, which is so important. We also have a section on basic cooking techniques. If you're just getting started, this is perfect. You don't have to be an advanced cook. There are certainly more advanced recipes, but we've got lots of starter recipes too. We've got our quick fix section, which doesn't even include amounts, which means you can go crazy and just try to make recipes your own. They're very, very simple preparations. If you're just getting started and you want to learn how to cook very simple dishes for your day-to-day, that's also included. And we've got one of my favorite sections, which is our advice and support section, which means you get support on all of the different little aspects that go into being vegan, but also to help you improve your relationship with food and say goodbye to dieting and to all the rules and learning how to get back in touch and in tune with your body, with its signals. And it's pretty cool. So if you want to check all of that out, you can visit www.mybrownbowl.com. That's www.mybrownbowl.com. And you can sign up today. There's a little video trailer that's going to tell you all you need to know about the program. But without further ado, let's get into talking about today's episode and those conversations at the table. Because with the holiday season like right around the corner, I'm kind of getting nervous, by the way, guys. I haven't even finished planning my Thanksgiving menu. I kind of have an idea, but I haven't finished it yet. And I feel that it's like in no time at all. And I'm getting really nervous. I have all my decor planned, which is, as you know, if you remember last year's episodes about Thanksgiving, I love to spend some time, you know, just kind of getting lovely details for the table and stuff. So that I've kind of got the idea of what I want to do. But the food is a different matter. I can't decide. And I'm part of the reason why I can't decide is I have some recipes I'm testing right now. And I think one is going to be very exciting, but I don't know if it's going to work because I haven't tested it yet. Maybe tonight. So yeah, Thanksgiving right around the corner. And part of being, you know, in the holiday season, it means we have traditions with family members and with friends, and lots of conversations can happen at the table, especially if you're a new vegan or even a long-term vegan, but lots of your friends and family aren't vegan. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, Carlos and I have been vegan for a few years now, and sometimes that means that I forget what it was like in the very early stages of making this change, right? You know, by now, all of our friends and family know we're vegan, and they know why we've made the change. They've even got familiar with vegan foods, and they make delicious meals and treats for us. Many of our friends, our non-vegan friends, now shop in vegan stores when we're going to go over, or they even shop, you know, they've swapped the vegan cheeses or things like that. A lot of our friends have made small changes, and it's pretty cool to see. And, you know, it's just very rare these days that we need to explain the way we eat to people, because everybody knows we've been vegan for many years now. And we've, you know, the new friends we've made recently have all been vegan, so that hasn't been an issue. So on our latest trip to London, which, remember, you can hear all about in our last two podcast episodes, we were surrounded by dozens of non-vegan doctors at these two incredible dinners that we were invited to. And I remembered suddenly what it was like to have all of those eyes on the only two different plates of food at the table. And that was my plate and Godless's plate. And yeah, we were the only two vegans in the room. And it was kind of a really great reminder that we had to talk about this topic together in the podcast before the holidays. And it was just a great way to flex that we're the same, but we're also different muscle, because I don't normally get to flex that muscle. And in today's episode, I'm going to tell you about what usually happens in these vegan / non-vegan conversations. We might have, I know we have some new vegans in the house, and you might not, you might be a little apprehensive about these big celebrations with non-vegan family and friends. And I'm also going to give you some tips on how to be yourself and how you can inspire other people without getting into that preaching category or without relying on any specific outcome or feeling disappointed. And especially, I'm going to just give you tips that are going to help you have fun and enjoy your meals even when all eyes are on you as you answer some difficult or even some personal questions. And if you're an introvert like I am, you know what I'm talking about and how strange it feels to be under the spotlight. It always makes me very uncomfortable. So I had to really get my stuff together when I became vegan and just try to be able to relax in these moments and just be myself. That really helped. And I'm going to give you, lots of tips today for that. So first, I want to talk about something that I call the vegan conversation archetypes, because it's almost like a little cartoon. Have you watched any cartoons lately? If you have kids, you're probably immersed in a world of cartoons. We don't have kids, so it's not that frequent, except for all the adult style cartoons that there are these days, which are kind of cool. Godless watches more than I do. But if you haven't watched any cartoons lately, let me just say that every episode is a slightly different version of the previous one. That's what makes a cartoon kind of a cartoon and funny. You know, the story might be different from episode to episode, and the script might be different, but in cartoons and also in children's movies, there are always archetypes. And that means, for example, that the Roadrunner is always getting miraculously saved with little to no effort or knowledge or awareness. And the coyote always ends up with stars around its head, right? No matter what the story is, this happens in every episode. Lisa from The Simpsons is always trying to save the world, while Homer is elbow deep in, silly shenanigans he can't seem to learn from. And this is what makes cartoons so endearing, right? And children's movies, too. If you watch, Jurassic Park and you see the sequels, there are certain patterns that keep reappearing, even though the stories are slightly different, right? And the plot is different. So guess what? The same thing happens in conversations at the table when you're the only vegan there. The same thing happens. So there's the person who tells you they love vegetables and could easily be vegan, right? There's the person who says they could be vegan, but they could never live without, and then you can insert whatever food obsession they have here. It's usually cheese or ham in the case of Spain. That's a big one. And, there's also the person who says they really don't eat that much meat. And there's the person who simply tries to pretend that you're not sitting at their table. That happened to us in London with some people. Well, with one person in particular. But, they just try to pretend you're not even sitting there. They just completely ignore you. Then there's the person who asks really sincere questions because they're actually legitimately curious. And there's the person who is so jealous of the yummy food you were brought that they can't stop eating your food and trying your food. And they vow to order vegan next time they're at that restaurant. And this happened a lot during our trip to London. I think it was the most frequent response that we had because our food looked incredible and it was so yum. It's always so colorful. I think it just catches people's eye. And, people don't think that that's an option. So, yeah, pretty great. Then there's the person with the quote unquote, tell me what I want to hear. And I'm going to keep asking you questions until you tell me what I want to hear. These types of questions. For example, questions that will confirm why they won't or can't go vegan. Right? For example, they want confirmation that it's too expensive, or that kids shouldn't eat this way, or that it's hard to travel, and that if you did it for the animals, then that's great. And that means they don't have to do it because they don't really care about animals. So they keep, you know, they keep asking these questions over and over until they hear something that will reassure them that, you know, that they don't have to do this change, that this is just about you, and that this has nothing to do with them. This is this one. This archetype always makes an appearance, always. And yeah, then we have the hardest archetype of all, at least for, you know, answering questions. And that's the gotcha inquirer. That's what I call it, the gotcha inquirer. And that's the person who asks the weird questions to find some kind of flaw in the whole vegan thing, right? They feel that this vegan thing is like a cult or a religion or something, and they want to find the you know, its weak spot. And veganism is nothing like that. It's a way of eating, and it's the choice some people make, and that's it. And of course, it's flawed, like any way of eating is, when we have to produce food and people have to make a profit out of it. That's a topic for another episode. But yeah, so they're the ones that ask, you know, whether plants feel pain and whether the, you know, yeast in bread is an animal. You're probably laughing right about now, right? Saying, exactly, right? So, you know, you put a group of non-vegans together with a vegan, and all of these conversations and all of these archetypes are going to make an appearance. And, you know, they're just those vegan conversation archetypes, and they always pop their little heads out, always. That's the first important step when having positive conversations at the table that won't escalate to quote-unquote weird or uncomfortable or argument scenarios, right? You recognize the archetypes and you accept them and understand that most of the time people are coming from their own resistance and beliefs or issues with food, and that it has very little to do with you. So that was the first thing I wanted to get this, you know, I wanted to get this started today with that. Because if you're ready and you're prepared to, you know, you can start a conversation or be at a table where all of these things are popping up, and you know that they're normal, that they happen at every dinner. And I can tell you that because they've happened at every dinner or encounter I've been at since I've been vegan, and it's been many years. So yeah, they always appear. All of these is pretty remarkable. So if you know that this is normal, that this is not something that's just happening to you, that always helps. Awareness always helps, right? You know, I think most of the time people are just legitimately curious, and it's a great opportunity to plant little seeds and answer questions. But if you're ready to just, you know, if you know that this is just the way it goes and it's normal, you're going to be more relaxed at that moment, especially if you're an introvert like I am. So let's talk about those little magic seeds, right? What happens to me now? Now I can answer questions with so much confidence, but I have to admit that it was much harder in the beginning. It was so hard. I also have to confess that although I love planting seeds and I love talking about veganism here at Brown Bowl, that's why we created this whole thing, I don't really like doing it at every moment of a social gathering. I really don't. I would sometimes rather talk about the new season of Stranger Things, you know. That's the truth. I have to confess that. I know a lot of you would love to spread the word at every moment, at every social gathering, that you're great activists. I have this space. And when I am at a lunch or a dinner, I love talking about other things. You know, I've always told you, veganism is not the only thing in my life, and food is not the only thing in my life, in spite of the fact that I love talking about it and sharing it with you guys. So yeah, I have, that's a little confession I have to make. But you know, it just comes with the territory. It comes with the territory when you order differently from other people and they're curious as to why. And of course, now a lot of people know that we have this platform, that we have this podcast and the videos and the online program, and they want to ask even more questions because they, you know, they know that this is something that we do every day. So yeah, sometimes I would rather talk about other things, but it's just almost never possible. there's always a moment at these dinners where we have to spend some time answering those questions, and then we go back to normal topics, and then, you know, I'm happy because I got to do both things. I got to plant some magic little seeds or offer help to people who really want it. And then I get to talk about, I don't know, other stuff that I love to talk about. And, you know, it just happens that when you order differently and a different plate of food arrives at the table, people are just curious. They want to know why, especially if you live in a culture like the one where I live now in Spain, where veganism is only now becoming more mainstream, right? There are countries in which people know what it is and know what it's about, and you get less questions. But here, it's only now becoming mainstream. And it's still a point of, you know, being a little bit of that weirdo at the table. So yeah, our two very elegant dinners in London, you can hear all about that in last week's episode and the previous one, they were filled with questions that we had to answer. And I did so gladly because many people were really legitimately curious. What I don't have patience for is when people really don't care. And they're asking because they're the gotcha inquirer, or they just, I don't know, they want to make fun of the whole thing, or they just, I don't know. When people are really curious and they really have these great questions that they are really, really curious about, that's fun because that, you know, it you can take it to interesting places. But this whole thing in these dinners, it made me remember how hard these issues and these situations were for me in the very early years of being vegan. It really made me think about that because I was really nervous when I had to do this in the beginning because I'm kind of shy, especially if I'm surrounded by people I don't know. And you've heard me say it before, right? Suddenly you go vegan and you're expected to be this expert on everything: nutrition, animal rights, and disease prevention, and soy agriculture, and gluten, anything and everything. And you're supposed to be an expert in cooking and in travel and sociology and religion and even psychology, right? And to this, I always say, you do not need to be an expert. You don't need to be an expert. You just need to be honest about your story and your journey and what you've experienced. And with time, you're going to start gaining those very kind of useful nuggets of information, and you're going to start planting little seeds in people, and you can leave it at that. I'm going to give you tips. Don't worry. Now, whenever we're at a table with lots of non-vegans and all the typical archetypes I mentioned pop up, I can immediately tell who is really curious and who is just looking for a reason not to ever have to make this change, right? Can you relate to this? And when I told Carlos this after our dinners with the doctors in London, he reminded me of something. And I thought it was pretty cool, and I had to share that because he has these like little Yoda-like moments of incredible wisdom. He's a very wise man all the time, but he has these particular moments when he says something and I say, oh my God, I should write that down to put it in the podcast. So I had this moment, especially with a couple of people, where I really felt that they were asking questions just to look for that reason they didn't have to do it, right? They weren't really interested in what I was saying. They're just looking for something to say, okay, yeah, that's not for me. And I told this to Carlos, and this is what he said. He said, they might not be ready now, and they might not be ready in 10 years, but every time they hear it, or they see it, or they read the word vegan in a menu, it's kind of the beginning of having awareness that, you know, there might be something to look into there, right? And it might be that 15 years from now, they hear it from Dr. Oz after, you know, you've been, this is typical with family members. I've seen it very frequently. You know, 15 years from now, they hear it from Dr. Oz after you've been talking about it for ages, right? And right then and there, they take the leap. And if not fully, with whatever changes they can make. So that's what Carlos told me. And I have such a bright husband. I really do. He's totally right. He is totally right. So that was a big lesson in being patient when I answer these questions. Not that I was impatient. I answered everything, imagining that this person was really interested. And I didn't, you know, I never, this is going to be one of my tips, I never kind of start this whole, like, speech about veganism Never, ever, ever. Because I would have been, I don't know, I wouldn't have liked that if I weren't vegan and I was at this dinner party and somebody started, you know, preaching about it. So all I do is I answer questions really simply and briefly. And yeah, that's it. And then I offer to help afterwards if it starts getting like, you know, controlling all of the conversations, because I really don't like that. I remember once I saw this interview with Alicia Silverstone. She's one of my favorite activists, and she wrote this fantastic book, The Kind Diet. And she said how people, you know, after a few years of her being vegan, they would come up to her all the time to ask questions and questions and questions. And she would just say, here's my book, read the book. And I understand that, because you really don't want to be that person at the table that's just completely overpowering every single piece of the conversation. I don't like to be that. I don't like to be under the spotlight at all, because I'm a total introvert. You might not believe that, but it's true. So I love what Carla said, because, you know, we got to answer some of the questions that were thrown our way. And even though we saw, you know, this person who really, you know, wasn't huge, was looking for this excuse to not do it, you never know, right? You never know. It might be the second time she hears about it, or the third time, and it might be in time number 250 where, you know, she says, okay, I'm going to try it once a week. And even that is good. So yeah, Carlos is very bright. And it's why when my Stranger Things conversations get put on the back burner, and instead I get, but you have time to cook, right? I don't have time to cook. Question. This is a typical one. I just try to remember that this might be seed number one or number 13 or number 200, and that they all matter. And I really answer happily and with as much kindness as I can muster, without overwhelming the other person, without giving so much information they can't handle it, without overpowering the conversation. I can't tell you how important this is, because you're not going to get invited again if you overpower everything with talk about these issues. Just give a little something. Give people the curiosity to maybe do a little research on their own if they're still curious about something. I think that's cool. And, you know, I answer as briefly as I can. I guide them to other things that they can read or watch if they feel like it. And I just don't take anything personally. And I use the tips that I'm going to share with you now. And those really help. So when I first became vegan, these conversations really felt like a vegan pop quiz that I was either going to pass or fail, right? And now I take it just like I do any conversation or any questions that I'm asked. And that means that I can say, I have no idea, right? If I get asked something that I don't know, I just say, I have no idea. And you don't have to be an expert. You really don't. You just have to be yourself. That is my number one tip. If you want to stop listening now, you can. Just be yourself and answer, you know, just briefly and kindly, and offer to send more information or tell them to read a great book that you love that really inspired you, something like that. And, you know, especially now that the holidays are coming up, in which we often get together with non-vegan family and friends for Thanksgiving or for the holidays. And especially in these times, you know, people are particularly attached to their traditions and their food. These tips that I'm going to give you now are really going to come in handy. So first tip, tip number one, do not shame or guilt trip or talk about animal abuse at the table. Don't do any of these three things, right? Don't shame, don't guilt trip, and don't talk about animal abuse. And we have to be really careful, because sometimes this kind of slides in without us noticing. And we have to kind of be watchful of that. And of course, these are just my tips. You might disagree completely, and that's totally fine. These are the things that I've seen have helped me and have helped me have great communication and just, you know, have the topic at the table for a little bit and then just let it slide and talk about other things and feel normal at the table. That's the most important thing, I think, when you're vegan and you're at the beginning stages. You really want to feel like the normal person that you are and that you were before you went vegan. So Don't shame, don't guilt trip, and do not talk about animal abuse issues at the table, please. Even if all the table that is being served is vegan, even if you're hosting this at your house, I don't think this is the appropriate moment. I think it causes a lot of resistance and rejection from people. And I think we need to start maybe shifting the way we talk about these issues, doing it at another time, or sharing resources that the person can control, you know, when and how they absorb it. Because these things can be really traumatizing and they can be really difficult. And if the person is not ready, it's just going to cause resistance. So, you know, I just think nobody likes a bite of cheesecake with an image of a veal crate rolling around their head, right? It's what happens. And of course, we want to help animals and we want their suffering to end as quickly as we can. And that's going to require some changes. But I just think that the other way, it just doesn't work. I've never seen it working. You know, I think it will never have a positive outcome if you're making the person feel uncomfortable. And sure, yeah, learning about what is happening to animals, it's so important, but don't do it while people are eating, even if they're eating vegan food. I find that it's much more effective to actually say in that moment, if you're asked something about that, just say, I really don't like to talk about the animal abuse issues at the table, but I'd be happy to talk after if you have questions, right? I think people respect you for understanding that they have boundaries too. So I think that saying that sentence is even better than talking about the animal issues. It can actually shift people's perception about vegans and veganism more. And, you know, we just do so much as humans, you know, as people, we do so much shaming and guilt tripping to our own selves when it comes to food, right? We are doing that all the time. So don't add to that, right? Don't add to that. Answer questions stating that you understand where the other person is because you were once at that very place. I always say this when somebody tells me, oh, but I could never do this and I could never do that, or I think this is too much, or I just tell them, listen, before I went vegan, I was in exactly your shoes. Exactly there. I had resistance. I had this and I had that. And then, you know, I just tried it and I loved it. I think every person is different. You never know unless you try. And people like that. I've seen a lot of great reactions to that type of an answer. All right. Tip number two, don't take it personally or rely on the outcome. You know, and I want you to answer questions as if these issues had nothing to do with your beliefs or your ethics, even when they do. That's kind of the key. If you separate yourself a little bit, it's going to be easier to not take it personally and not feel offended or feel, you know, judged or feel maybe, you know, when things get very heated that you don't, you know, get extremely angry or that things just escalate or that you get, you know, tears in your eyes because you're just feeling that they're making jokes or comments at your expense. If you manage to separate yourself a little bit and answer the questions as if you were talking about something completely different that had nothing to do with your beliefs or your ethics, even if they do, because you're always going to act according to your beliefs and your ethics, right? You're having this conversation based on that. So that's always going to be there. But if you try to separate yourself a little bit, I think that's very, very useful because I think that when we take it very personally and we do associate it with our beliefs, that's when things can get heated and personal. That's when communication breaks down, especially with family members or those, you know, hardcore carnivore friends who actually do take their steak very personally. So I love to separate. I love to try. Sometimes you can't do it, but I love to try to separate myself from the issue a little bit. And I answer people's questions as if veganism was simply another choice that I had made in my life. And I use phrases like this. I'll give you an example. I can say something like, well, you know, that might be some people's experience, but it really wasn't mine, right? That way, you know, you can separate yourself a little bit, but say, you know, I had a different experience if the person is saying something negative about veganism, for example. Or you can say, I understand your resistance. I was at that very spot once too, but then I realized I felt great and it just worked for me, right? And I find that each person finds their sweet spot and a place they're comfortable in. So this has just been my experience. So do you see? I answer just separating myself from it a little bit, but still talking about my personal experience. It's weird to explain it, but I think with the examples, you probably got it, right? So, you know, you can laugh at jokes and throw a meat-eating joke right back at them, right? It's all fair game if they do it to you. So by, you know, by laughing and just trying to, you know, just keeping it as light as you can, it's going to be easier to not take it personally and not get very emotional. And, you know, just try to keep conversations light and simple and just speak from your perspective, right? Telling your story, and try to not take comments personally and try to not rely on the outcome. That can be hard with family, right? And, you know, take the pressure off by realizing, you know, yours might be just that very simple little first seed, and that perhaps the only thing that person needs to hear right now is that you can buy vegan cheese at the store. Maybe it's just that, right? We take it so seriously and we think, oh my God, I have to give this perfect answer and I'm like taking a test. And sometimes the only thing a person needs to hear is, oh, you can find vegan cheese at the store now. And that's it, right? That can be a great starting point. So that's what I mean. Don't rely on the outcome. Don't take it personally. And the way you do that is by separating yourself a little bit. Answer as if they weren't talking about something that was, you know, as attached to your belief systems and your ethics. And just, you know, just try to separate yourself. Try to remember, by the way, that unless you are a lifelong vegan, you were there at that place at some point. Okay, tip number three. If they ask you what you eat, you've heard me talk about this many times, but I love this question. This is such a frequent question that I love talking about it. So if they ask you what you eat, ask what they eat and take it from there. This is a great, really practical and helpful tip. So if you've heard me talk about it so many times, right? This question, well, what exactly do you eat? It can be answered in so many different ways. And what I love to do is I love to include the other person. Not only so I don't have to recall my previous week of eating on the spot, because sometimes I can't even remember, but just so that they can see that what they like to enjoy can also be made vegan. So I think it's kind of a double whammy there. And I ask people what they eat on a typical day, and then I show them how with a few swaps, the same day of eating can be made vegan. For example, if they say that they eat toast and scrambled eggs, this becomes toast and a tofu scramble, or vegan scrambled eggs. Now that we have, well, quote unquote eggs, we have this, you know, vegan egg and all of these incredible products. If they say a burger with cheese and fries, this becomes a vegan burger with vegan cheese and fries. You get the idea, right? And then I can add some of my favorite meals and the ones I eat on a regular basis, just a few, so that they realize all the variety that there can be. Because I oftentimes, well, I have an advantage because I'm a cook and I'm always recipe testing. So I can think of so many ideas off the top of my head that I can mention so that they see that there's variety. And I'm sure you can too, because you are eating three times a day, at least every day. So don't answer this question by saying vegetables, grains, fruits, and beans. Don't answer that way. Answer with the actual dishes that you make. That's what people are really asking, you know, aka what does a day of vegan eating actually look like? Because if you say grains, fruits, and beans and vegetables, they're imagining, you know, just they can't even picture it. Because if, when you don't eat vegan, you can't even picture how you can make a plate with these things. So answer with the actual dishes. That's tip number three. Tip number four, I want you to listen to our episode titled Frequently Asked Questions About Veganism. And you can also find the written post of that if you want. This has so many specifics and resources to the common questions that we get. And especially if you're a new vegan, you might not know what to answer, right? When people tell you they have problems with iron, or if they ask you about vitamin B12, or if they ask you questions about raising children when you might not even have children. This was one of the very personal questions we were asked at one of those dinners in London. So that's why I created that episode, because I wanted a simple guide that you could always go to with tons of specific links and information and the answers to the most typical questions we get asked. And of course, you can change them up to suit your opinions and your versions. Some of them were more opinion-based questions. Some are actual facts about veganism and vegan diets and nutrition. So that's kind of like the Cliff's Notes version of some common concerns. And I hope they help you answer some of these questions. So go check that out. I've linked to it, of course, in the post that goes with this episode that we're having today. But you can also search for it in the podcast, in the app, on your phone, or in the blog at brownwell.com. That episode is titled Frequently Asked Questions About Veganism. Pretty simple. Okay, tip number five. We're almost through with the tips. So tip number five, do not oversell or overpromise. Keep it kind and keep it about you. You know, it's become very common these days to portray a vegan diet as the magical key to everything, right? A foolproof road to disease prevention, a straight path to the perfect, quote unquote, perfect body. You know, I have a lot of issues with that topic. If you've heard the podcast before, as it's, you know, talked about as the solution to all of the problems in the world. And this is simply not the case, guys. It's just not the case. There is one exception, which is animals, right? Saving animals aside, because this is a beautiful side effect that happens every time you choose a veggie burger over a meat-based one, you are helping animals. So that's the only exception, and a big one. That's the reason I went vegan. But saving animals aside, it's just not true that a vegan diet is perfect and the ideal solution to all of these problems. You know, it's not even the direct path to perfect health or weight loss. It just isn't, because we're all different. Our bodies are all different. Our way of eating as a vegan is different. So, you know, don't sell it as that. Instead, what I recommend is that you talk honestly and from your heart, right? You can talk about the positive things, because I know that if you're on this journey, you've had lots of positive changes. I know it because I went through so many, right? So you can talk about all of the positive things it has brought to your life. You can talk about that. And what was that in my case? In my case, that was higher energy levels and feeling really great, right? Feeling amazing and having better confidence and loving the food and the new adventures in cooking. Those were the big changes in my life. And I also, you know, feel perfectly fine. I feel perfectly fine when I talk to people, agreeing that some of the things regarding this change were hard for me. And, you know, this is important when planting seeds, right? People are much more likely to have an aha moment if they feel you're a normal human being. Nobody can relate to somebody who's quote unquote perfect and does everything by the book and makes no mistakes and has perfect willpower. Nobody can relate to that, right? People relate to people, and they love to hear. People love to hear that you made mistakes sometimes and that that can happen when you're a vegan. They love to hear that you don't need an endless supply of willpower and that it's not about perfection. That's, you know, that's where people kind of say, okay, this sounds like, you know, me. I'm not perfect either. And that does not make you any less of a vegan advocate. It makes you human. And only humans can inspire other humans, okay? So it's not about perfection. You've heard me say it many times. Now, I love telling people, I love it. I love being as honest as I can. I love talking about all the positive, amazing effects that I've had. But I love also telling people that I've had cravings for non-vegan foods, because it's the truth. I have. During all of these years, I've had moments where I've craved non-vegan foods. I've loved telling people of the times that I've slipped up or had no idea that something wasn't vegan, right? And I ate it. This has probably happened to you if you've been a long-term vegan. You just didn't know and you had a bite and didn't notice. I love telling people of all the strong resistance I had to being vegan in the beginning, right? And how I thought that veganism was just for hippie, enlightened yogis, and that I thought I'd never be able to do it, right? That it was just reserved to these very kind of high, I don't know, spiritually high people that were not, you know, an imperfect human like me. So I like talking about those things. And I think it makes people see that in spite of these things, if making this change is something you feel like trying, you can try it, right? If they can relate to this way of looking at things, if they can relate to you as a person and how you struggled and you had all of these beliefs in your head, you know, they can still say, okay, but she still tried it and it was great. So maybe I can try it too if I'm inspired to do so. And many people are not going to try it. That's part of life too. So, you know, it also starts, this is important, it also starts changing the perception that many people have about vegans. Something that is still very much ingrained in the culture and is totally based on stereotypes. And sure, there are some vegans that are, you know, this annoying vegans. There are many kind of memes and things in online that you can laugh at because we've all heard a vegan that is like that, right? But this is kind of, I find that it's mostly based on stereotypes because none of the vegans I know are these, you know, perfect creatures who never make mistakes and are on their high pedestal trying to judge other people, because that's the idea that many people have about vegans. I don't really know any vegans like that. So this is based on stereotypes, and I think we need to really change people's perception that vegans are just, we're just normal people. We just eat a different plate of food with a lot of things that are actually the same as other people. It's just a couple of things that change, right? And I really recommend that you keep it about you, right? Say, I don't know when you don't know. Give honest answers and just share your journey, right? Share the difficulties and, of course, share the positive. And offer to give them more information later if the moment is not appropriate to talk about certain issues, or you don't know and you might look for information if they want it, right? So, that's very important. Tip number 6, our last one. Practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. Like in anything we do. I want to talk about this at a future episode because I want to, when we discuss mindfulness a little bit, because I've recently heard this speech, it's a video online. I don't want to mention it now. I don't want to spoil it because I want to make a whole episode about it. But it's about this idea that practice makes perfect, but not look, striving for perfection, but that practice is really everything. And I'm going to share that soon, I promise. But, you know, you're going to answer questions in ways that you wish you hadn't. It has happened to me so many times, right? You might even get emotional or angry sometimes, especially when family members who really know how to push your buttons try to do that, right? We all have these family members who know us so well. They know exactly what buttons to push to take us over the edge, right? So especially when this happens, sometimes it's just part of it, right? Part of these conversations. But each time you talk about these issues and you answer questions honestly and you use the tips that I've given you, you're going to get a little bit better at it and a little more confident and a little more comfortable. So practice really does make perfect. Perfect doesn't exist. We all know that, but it helps. It helps improve. And, you know, just it helps us get as close to it as us imperfect humans can get, right? So yeah, I hope that these tips and knowing what to expect in these moments, I hope this helps you in the coming weeks when we're going to be dining with lots of non-vegan friends and family probably. And I think that this is really going to help. Please don't forget to check out that episode about the frequently asked questions about veganism, because you're going to be surprised by some of my take on some things. I often have a lot of vegans who disagree with my take on certain things. It's just who I am. So I'm always very honest. I also have a lot of people who love that it's a refreshing new take on certain issues, that they feel more comfortable talking about these things in this way. So I think you might enjoy that episode. It's one of my favorites from the podcast. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I have for you today, guys. Do not forget to check out our online program if you're so inclined. Remember, it's got all of those amazing recipes. Don't forget to go to bramble.com and check out our Thanksgiving recipe collection, which is live. You can find that in the bar at the top. And of course, if you'd like to support this podcast, the best way to do it is to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or on Stitcher. That really helps us go, you know, higher in the searches, appear higher up in the searches. It helps people find us when they search for these topics, right? Veganism or, you know, a non-dieting approach or, you know, a body-loving approach or all of the things we talk about in the podcast. And all you have to do to leave us that rating and review is you search for Brownbull in your little podcast app in the search icon. You go to our podcast and then you look for the reviews tab. You click write a review and you leave it there. And you can also do that in our iTunes, in your iTunes at your computer by searching for Brownbull in the search bar and going to the podcast and click the reviews tab and write a review. And of course, you can also do this on Stitcher. And we would be so grateful. It really helps us, you know, grow our audience. And this content is free. It's always going to be free. So you help us reach so many more people. And I couldn't be more grateful. I couldn't be more grateful to have you there on the other side. I've been receiving so many emails from you saying you love the podcast. You're a big fan of the podcast. You listen every week. And that's what makes it so much fun for me, because I know you're on the other side and that these things might offer a little light and help. And of course, next week, we're going to have more of it. So I will see you next Thursday on our little date at the Brownbull Podcast. See you then.